mentioned this afternoon in our study in Revelation. And in order to do so, I'm going to ask you to turn back to the book of Daniel, chapter 8. Daniel, chapter 8. It's in the Old Testament, Mike.
Yeah.
Daniel chapter 8, and we're going to begin our reading this morning with verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, and not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days afterward. I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Let us pray. Your kind, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this afternoon, Lord, we're thankful for this wonderful day that you gave us. We thank you, dear God, that we are able to assemble here again this afternoon and look into this portion of Scripture. And dear Father, we pray that even though this is yet to come in the future, I pray, Father, that you'd help us and help us to understand what it is that you are saying to us. And dear Lord, I pray that you direct us in the things that we do and say. And Lord, if there's one here this afternoon that's lost, I pray this be a time you speak to the hearts and draw them unto yourself. And dear Lord, what you do, we'll thank you for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject I'd like to draw our thoughts to this afternoon is getting introduced to the Antichrist. Getting introduced to the Antichrist. The book of Daniel parallels the book of Revelation in a mighty way. Really, it's a book that you can study side by side with Revelation. I'm not smart enough to do it, and I'd hate to see how long it would take to get through it, looking at them together. But the book of Daniel does parallel Revelation very, very well. And this afternoon, as we continue our path and our journey through the book of Revelation, we've come across some truly terrifying scenes. We've seen some terrifying creatures. We've read about some horrible times and things that were going on and did go on. And some really amazing characters. Who could forget the witnesses, the two witnesses, and how God used them and what he did with them. The other ones we've seen, we've come across the rider on the white horse, who has much to do, much damage will cause eventually. For the next little while, our attention is going to be focused on an individual that there's probably more speculation on in our day than anybody else can concern or connect with the Bible. And that is the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Where is the Antichrist? When will the Antichrist assume his control? Well, that one I can't answer. It's going to be when the tribulation starts. When that's going to be, I don't know. I do know. Well, I do know. I know exactly when it's going to happen, when the church is going to be raptured, when the last one of God's sheep is called in, whenever that is. It could be today, it could be tonight, it could be, you know, it could be a long time from now. We don't know, but that's when it's going to be. And that's when he's going to begin to assert himself. We gotta understand, the Antichrist could be among us today. And it's possible he's not been born yet. That's just something we don't know. But we need to be prepared and understand that he could appear, the church could be taken out of here at any moment. Just from looking at his name, it's easy to see that this person is the one who will be the greatest influence in regard to the opposite of Jesus. He is going to be opposed to Jesus. He's going to be against the Lord. He's going to stand opposite of the Lord in just about every regard. This will be true in everything that is connected to him. There's a lot of speculation concerning who he is and when he will come. Is he here now? And the list could go on and on. I remember saying who it was will put you an idea of how long ago it's been. But I remember back when Reagan was president, that it went around that he was the Antichrist because there were 6 letters in his all 3 names, first name, middle name, last name. So therefore, he would have to be the Antichrist. Well, he wasn't. We were still here when he was president, so that eliminated that. I'm old enough to remember when they first put barcodes on things. Well, they thought that was going to be the mark of the beast, that it was already here, that was the start of the end, the beginning of the end. Well, we've been doing barcodes for a long time now, haven't we? And it's not been the beginning of the end. And I'm just saying that to show people will wonder and think about and try to speculate on a lot of things that there's no way that you can. There's no reason to even think you can. So this especially lets some of that go. There are some things as far as in the future regarding him that's interesting to discuss. The only truth that we can find regarding him is found in scriptures. And those are the things we can stand on. Those are the things we can depend upon. To attempt to go beyond that is a venture into dangerous ground, because there is nothing solid to stand upon other than the Word of God. And when it comes to prophecy, I have found many times that it's one subject that just about the time you have it all figured out in your mind and everything laid out and everything is just going to be so, somebody comes along and mentions something that just tears everything apart, that you got to go right back and start over again. That is because with our finite minds, it's difficult at best to put all the pieces together and try to get it to understand. It is worth noting that we find that there have been, and this I have to go with what I read, there has been 40 billion people that have lived on this earth since Adam was created in the Garden of Eden. And I say that by saying it may be true, it may not. That's just a number that I read. From that many times, it sounds about right, but I'm not going to, this is what I read. We need to take this number with a grain of salt, but it's something to at least consider. What we know, that since that time, the world has witnessed the advent of many talented, many intelligent, and powerful people. People that could sway masses, people that led masses, people that could do anything and was able to do just about anything, and some that were pure geniuses, whether it was evil genius or not. While that is so, there's one coming that will stand head and shoulders above the rest of humanity. He'll be far above the best of the best before him. In fact, there have been none that has ever come close to what this man will be like. He'll be powerful. He'll be deceitful, intelligent, brutal, ruthless, and efficient in what he does. He's going to be, you might say, the perfect leader. He'll be the closest thing there's ever been to a perfect leader as the world would look to a leader, at least for the first 3.5 years. He's going to be the one that is going to establish peace on this earth, so they think. And he will for a while. He's the one that's going to be able to do things that is absolutely beyond our imagination. Any person can do that. What will be present in this man is the fact that he will represent all the principles of all that man can achieve apart from God. He is going to be the crowning achievement of what a person can do without God. The reason he'll be able to rise above all that have come before him is that he will be directly, satanically empowered. There's a lot of people that we looked at that have been evil. We say that that person had to have Satan helping him, Satan guiding him. Well, possibly, probably more of a Satan enabled, but this fellow will be empowered by Satan. He'll have all the abilities that Satan has and what Satan is able to do. Therefore, he will wreak havoc in this world. While there have been others that we've seen that were influenced by Satan, he will be directly and absolutely empowered by him in all that he does. So before we move any further in our study of Revelation, I think it would do us well to take the time to take a look at the man known as the son of perdition and the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He's called the beast in Revelation 13. That wicked in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. And the Antichrist in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. So you can see that everything about him is diabolically empowered, diabolically enabled, and working for a diabolical purpose. So for our remaining time today, and we'll be looking at this for a while, let's begin to take a close look at this awful and yet at the same time awesome man who will dominate the world one day. You can't take away from the fact that he will be an awesome figure in what he's able to do and how he's able to do it and the short time that he's going to be able to do so. I believe that it's going to be one day soon that the church is gone. You know, you look around and you see things that are going on today that are so wicked and so vile and so evil, and that it is going contrary continually against God and more all the time. It's like a big ball or a big boulder that started rolling downhill and there doesn't seem to be any way to stop it or divert it, and it's going to destroy us. And it's looking more and more like that all the time. So for our remaining time, let's take a close look at this man. It'll be looking at the subject introducing the Antichrist. We're going to notice, first of all, in verse 23, the advent of the Antichrist. What's being talked about here? But here we see him talking about, in the end time, a fierce king will stand up. A fierce king will stand up. Being as such, because of his fierceness, the people they'll have to leave him alone. They'll not be able to withstand him, they'll not be able to overcome him. What are the signs of his appearing? Can people know when this man will appear? The answers to that question is both yes and no. No man knows exactly who the Antichrist is. No person knows exactly when he will appear. However, the Bible does tell us that there are certain signs that accompany his appearance. Certain ways that the world, if they would look, would know that he had come. We notice the condition of the world. When this man makes his entrance, the world will be in an absolutely terrible moral condition. If the world stands worse than it is today, as hard as that is to imagine, as hard as that is to believe, it'll be worse than it is today. This is spoken to us in two passages that make reference to the end time. In Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and 27 says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." Life will be going on exactly as it normally does. Activities will be just as normal. That's what it talks about here. There was people that was eating their meals. It was just like normal. There were people that was getting married and having families just like they always did. And they did not pay any attention. They didn't know it was going to happen until it was too late. And the world will not know. The world as a whole will not know about the Antichrist coming until it is too late, until he's already here and already asserted himself. Remember, again, he's satanically empowered. And it's also important to remember that everything that he's doing, God is allowing. God can stop him. God can keep him from ever coming to power. But he's doing exactly what God would have him to do. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. "Notice also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." I think we're in the middle of perilous times, wouldn't you? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Now, who's that talking about? Without natural affection, that's talking about our gay people that are so proud this month. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This could be taken from the headlines of any newspaper that we have today. For every one of those conditions that you see, we see in our world today. You know, it doesn't matter. You can just run right down it and you can see exactly what people are living like today. People are proud. People are boasters. People they make the claim that they don't need God. They don't want God. They just soon shove God to the background and not ever think about him or hear of him or have him mentioned again. A man's word or a person's word isn't worth 2 cents now. They're absolutely false. They're unthankful. You know, there's different ways to receive thank you. What I mean is, there's somebody that can say thank you, and it's just something they say, just like have a nice day. That one used to fire me up. I couldn't tell you the times, because the way it was said, somebody tell me have a nice day, and I just want to tell them right back, don't tell me what kind of day to have. You know, about as sincere as all get out. But there's some people that say thank you and mean what they say. And there are some people that just say it and let it go. The unthankful may say it, but they don't mean it. They expect it. They expect you to do this. They expect you to do that. And if you don't do what is expected of you, the problem is with you. It's never such circumstance or situation that dictate. And I could spend the rest of my time right here in this. It is very easy to see that our world every day is preparing for the appearance of the Antichrist. Everything is lining up. Everything is coming together for that advent to take place. As we look around, it doesn't appear that our moral condition not only is here, but around the world could possibly get worse. I don't understand how it could get worse. But if the world stands, we know it will. I dare say, 20, 30 years ago, the people that were living then couldn't imagine things getting worse than they were in their day. And boy, we passed that up a long time ago, haven't we? The way that life is going on now. However, we know that if the Lord does not return soon, this world is going to continue to become worse and worse and worse and worse, beyond our capability to imagine today. Do not believe anyone who promises that they can make the world a better place morally. That was part of the idea behind the postmillennial note. Oh, I can't think of it now. I know it's not the amillennial, it's not the premillennial, not the postmillennial. Anyway, they believe that they could bring in, by doing right, by sending missionaries out, that they could change the world and make it a better place. And when the world would get just right, the world would be just so perfect that Jesus would step onto the stage. Well, the world wars we had kind of put a stop to that. It's not easy to see that this world is not getting any better. It simply is not. As we say that we believe in the soon return of the Lord, that we are attempting. Let me back up. As we say that we believe in the soon return of the Lord, that we are not attempting to be setting dates. We've had enough of them date setters, haven't we? They've been around for a long, long time. He could come today, or he could come 1,000 years from now. We're not told. In fact, the only thing in regard to that we're told is that Jesus said the only person that knows him is his Father. And of course, Jesus knows being God. That's it. The angels don't even know what's going to happen. There's going to be the corruption of religion. Boy, we see that around us more and more and more and more and more and more. I read just the other day where there's about to be I don't know if it's going to be a big split or not, but there's going to be a major split within the United Methodist Church. There are some that are going to come out, and there's a provision where they can come out over the fact that the denomination as a whole allows gay marriage and will perform gay marriage and all such as that. And there's some of them that realize that that's wicked and they'll not have any part of it. And to those who are going to take a stand against it, I tip my hat. They're making a stand for the right thing. But you look at how many churches that is not looked at as being evil anymore. That's not being looked at as vile. It's not looked at as an abomination, as God calls it. It's just being inclusive to everybody so that everybody feels welcome. Well, anybody should feel welcome to come to church, but then don't expect the church to condone an ungodly lifestyle. But that is what many are doing. The corruption of religion has become a money racket to many. It's become a racket where you see people that are doing anything and everything that they want to outside of the church house. And then when they come in, they're all together different people. And they break in. All they're interested in is getting money and more money and more money and more money. That seems like the one thing that we harp on a lot, but it's true. That's what a lot of them are all about, is getting more and more and more and more. They're never satisfied with anything. You keep having cards and letters coming in, and make sure you have a donation in them. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 tells us that the Antichrist will appear during a time of religious apostasy or a falling away. Now, let's pause here just a second. Did you catch what I said? He's going to come during a time of religious apostasy or a falling away. Now, is the Antichrist going to come before or after the rapture of the church? He's coming afterward, right? So this means that after the rapture church, there's still going to be churches that are holding services just like they are today. And that's going to be nothing but apostasy because all truth is gone. The Spirit of God is no longer with them. The Spirit of God is taken out. We find that in Thessalonians as well. So then what is left but apostasy and lies? This refers to a time when organized, visible Religion will depart from the doctrines of the Word of God even more so than they are now. But how could it not be? When they preach out of a perversion of the Word of God for one thing, and they don't ever preach on the things that that is needful, things such as faith in God, repentance, holy living, God's judgment, sin, hell, those things, they don't ever preach on that. What's left is dinosaur psychology. And everybody's doing okay. That's what they're going to build on. That's all they're going to have left at that particular time. The regular doctrines of the Word of God are going to be set aside. But again, why not? Because the Spirit of God isn't with them any longer. He's gone. Since the New Testament was written for and about believers, it makes sense to conclude that this falling away will occur in churches and denominations that call themselves Christians. Now, there is going to be a falling away up until the time the Antichrist comes. There's going to be a continual falling away. That doesn't mean that believers should not be busy and working for the Lord, because they should. But it does just simply mean that there's going to be more and more and more that turn their back on the Word of God. It's like the one group that Jesus talked about. He said they went from us because they were not of us. We've seen that here. We've had people that have left because they denied what we believed in. They denied what we believed and preached and practiced. And so they left. They left us because they were never of us. Because had they been of us, then no doubt they would still have been with us, as the Scripture says. So we need to know that there is going to be a falling away before the Antichrist comes on the scene, before the rapture, but it's also going to continue with organized religions at that time. Most people today have had their bellies full of organized religion. That's why organized religions fall off. That's why I'm fairly certain that if we would change the name on the church out here to the first Lily Valley Believers Fund, the first Believers Holy Temple, or something like that, that the people would come, because they don't want no doctrine. They don't want nothing that's organized. They don't want any of that stuff. Well, beloved, if you don't have doctrine, you don't have any teaching. And you know, you are what you are because of what you teach and preach and believe. It's not what you call yourself, it's what you are. But that's not what people want. We all know that just because a church or denomination calls itself Christian, it doesn't even make a Christian. Thinking about that fellow, that church that Jake was talking about, that's not a Christian church. That man's not even saved to say the things he says. I'm not a judge on a person's heart, but I can sure respect the fruit. And that's not the fruit of anybody who knows the Lord. In reality, the days in which we live are marked by a rapid departure from fundamental truths of Christianity. They are now departing into what people want, what people will want to hear, what will pack the pews, what will make people happy. And in order to do so, they deviate from the truth of God's Word. And it's happening around us all the time, and it's going to continue to go on and on. There was a time when if a person said they were a Christian, you pretty much knew what they believed. If they said they were saved, you could pretty well depend on what they believed on. There may have been some minor differences, but you knew what they believed. A person says they're a Christian now, they could be anything. They could believe anything. They could stand for anything. And just because they say they are, it doesn't make it so. It doesn't make it true. And something a person should guard against and watch against. There might have been a few doctrinal differences, but for the most part, this person would believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, the substitutionary death and resurrection of Jesus, the return of Jesus, and that the Bible was the Word of God. That was something that you could stand on and shake hands with anybody with back in the day that said they were a child of God, because it didn't matter really where they went to church. That was the things they heard. That was the things that they was proclaimed. That was the things that they understood. In other words, a Christian was a person who was in a personal relationship with Jesus and accepted all that the Bible teaches concerning Him and His work. But beloved, we are in a different world now. It is all different. It's all changed. And I don't think it's changed for the better. It's just about time. Since Jacob let you out early, I think I'm going to let you out just a couple minutes early to eat myself. Because this is a good place to jump off, and a little too long to get in right now. So we'll pick this up here next time. The Antichrist is a very interesting study.